Good morning, everybody. This is the KFPK Outdoor Show. I'm Bob Sims. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Well, the news is still salmon, and more salmon. I'll tell you one thing. It's just turning into a phenomenal year. And of course, it wasn't predicted. Now, conversely, there's still concerns about the Klamath system. The whole Sacramento system with salmon, which includes all the tributaries from McCollumy, American, Feather, the whole works, was supposed to be well below average this year. The Klamath system, which was awful last year, was supposed to have an above average run. Well, it's turned out just the opposite. The Klamath River is now they're getting concerned. And while the fishing at the mouth of the Klamath down at Requa was good last weekend again, another school of fish moved in, it's tapered off, and at this time of year, there should be more fish in that moving in that river. But in the Sacramento River system, it opened last Monday, and I'll tell you, nothing but good reports. Now, what's surprising about that is we're hearing fish caught everywhere. Now, not a whole lot of fish well up the river yet, but that's to be expected. We're not going to get the numbers of fish up at Red Bluff now that we are a month from now. The Feather River, there's fish there. There's no doubt about it. And they're catching fish. But it's not as good as the mouth of the American River. This is experiencing a great year. Now, normally, we'd be talking about the mouth of the American in the first couple of weeks that open in July. You go down there, three fish a morning, four fish a morning, a good morning might be seven fish. Well, you know, there could be 25 to 45 boats down there. So that's a lot of boats, but they're catching anywhere from about 20 to 25 on the low end up to maybe 45 fish every morning. And yesterday morning was right along those lines. And the good fishermen are getting their limits. Now, the limit is only one salmon, regardless of size. So it's not like limits are what we're normally accustomed to with the two fish. But the people are getting their fish. And here's what they're averaging like in the upper teens, 16, 17, 18 pounds. And most of them are just bright, fresh, wonderful fish. So that's what's going on there. And who knows how long it's going to go on, because when you start looking downriver, the few people out striper trolling are hooking occasional salmon on their striper plugs in shallow water. You go down to Benicia, you know, there's a park there. People fish off that rock wall. They're catching fish there. Now, not every day, but when a wave of fish goes through, and there's been quite a few of them, they're hooking up pretty good. And then down in the ocean, the only thing that's changing in the ocean, for example, last week and the week before, we're talking about all the fish north of the Golden Gate, from Muir Beach up by Rocky Point, up off of Duxbury, out to Enbuie and all that. Now, there's a couple of schools of fish, I mean big concentrations of fish to the south, down by Pacifica. And areas like that. I mean, my goodness. And yesterday, the boats limited out. Again. And the only thing that's changing down there is, you know, you're going to get into some fish and you get some smaller fish, you know, 7, 8 pounds and everything. But most fish, or most days, you're getting pretty quality fish, you know, which is like 12, 15, 18 pounds right in there. And so, but, you know, as those bigger fish move around, there's smaller fish to take the place. So if you don't get the big fish one day, you're going to get it the next day. So we'll have reports from all those places, including Bodega Bay, including Fort Bragg, including up at Eureka and the mouth of the Klamath. Okay? We'll find out how the folks did last week. Albacore fishing, I know they got out, I think it was Saturday. I know they caught some fish. I think maybe tomorrow is the next scheduled date. You know, everything's based on the weather, because these fish might be anywhere from 30 to 50 miles out, and you don't want to go out there if there's nasty things happening. So they're even, in fact, just later this week, some fishermen out of Colusa came in with limits of fish. Here again, it's one fish, but nice, big, bright fish. So things are happening with salmon. Things are really happening. And here's the strange thing. Now, I've told you for years, salmon don't like to bite in warm water. I don't know what's going on. The temperature, water temperature down at the mouth of the Americas is 74, 75 degrees by midday, and they're catching fish. So that's kind of kooky. Anyway, other things going on up in the mountains, Lake Almanor, the trolling up there is pretty good. The fish have gone deep, but the streams coming in Lake Almanor have taken on a new look. And we're going to tell you where you can go catch a whole bunch of small wild fish. We'll tell you where you might have a chance at a couple of larger rainbows and browns, and then another place where there, if you know what you're doing, you can catch some browns up in the 20-inch class. That's kind of fun. Lake Berryessa, bass fishing-wise, it's kind of crazy. They can't figure it out. The fishing is really pretty good, but getting the bigger fish is difficult. You can still get your fun, scrappy fish close to shore, you know, 5 feet, 8 feet, 10 feet deep. The bigger fish are down 25 to 35. But the shad, they don't know where the shad are. Shad must be out in deep water because the bass do not have any shad in their bellies, that's for sure. So anyway, we'll get a report there. The Walker River over on the east side, going through Colville and the town of Walker and clear up to where Highway 108 comes in. That got planted with the trophy fish yesterday. We'll get a report on that. Of course, that's already been loaded with fish, but this was part of their How Big Is Big Derby that runs the whole month of July. We'll give you the details on that. The Carson River, they put in some big trophy fish on Thursday, and then it rained like heck yesterday and the river's muddied up. But we will have a report on where you can call to find out. Up at Lake Alpine, a big plant is expected today, and we'll get a report from there and Spicer and the rivers around there. Clyde will be calling us with a report from Stripers in the Delta. It'll be interesting to see what he has to say. Of course, Barry, in just a few minutes, Don Paganelli calling at 7:15. There's a fishing in the city today. He'll be talking about that. Also, fishing the Delta for black bass and Folsom Lake. And I even have another story, a good story, on Folsom Lake trout. So all that and more coming up in the next 2 hours and 45 minutes on the KFBK Outdoor Show. Thanks for being here. Well, last week, when we talked to Barry Canavero over at Fort Bragg, he was on his way out albacore fishing. Of course, the albacore fishing, they're a strange breed of cat. They'll sit on their tails for, it seemed like months, waiting for a day to go out albacore fishing. But they do love it. And when they get out there, hopefully they can do some good. I did get a text from Barry. They got some fish. Let's find out what happened the rest of the week with that and with salmon. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
Well, that must have been nice to get an albacore trip in.
Yeah, it was really nice. And we had nice weather, too. I mean, we had to go further than we wanted to go, and now it's even further than that. But we ended up at 35 to 37 miles, and we did good. We got 14 fish, and most of them were all doubles. We had a triple, and we lost some fish on some cedar plugs, and that would have got our score up there a little bit better, but for some reason we keep losing Montecito plugs. I don't know why. But then that's it for the weather, and we're scheduled to go tomorrow, but I don't think we're going to go. There's guys here going today, but it's 11 foot 11 seconds, so I don't think they're going to go.
11 foot how often?
11 seconds.
11 foot swells every 11 seconds?
And and the fish are 47 miles away now.
No, thank
it
you.
It did exactly the opposite of what we were hoping to do. With the wind blowing, we thought the water would come in closer, and it went out further.
Yeah.
So we're scheduled for Sunday, and I doubt that we're going to make that trip. But and then our next trip is Tuesday, and we'll probably make that one. The weather looks okay on that one.
So well, I'll tell you one thing. About the last thing I can think on my list of things I'd really like to do is to go 45 miles out with 11-foot swells every 11 seconds.
Well, we don't do that. So, and I don't think anybody else is going to do it. You know, they all talk a big game, but, you know, we've been around for a long time. We've done this for a long time. We know when we can go and when we can't go.
Yeah.
And it's a shame. Like you just said, you know, an albacore fisherman knows the game, and, you know, it's all weather.
Yeah.
And if you can find the water, usually the fish will be there this time of the year. So.
Yeah. Well, let's talk salmon.
Yeah. Well, they had a pretty good bite here on Monday. And then it goes up and down, and then the weather is just horrible, just absolutely horrible. We were out yesterday, and we were rock cod fishing. I had to put the bow into the waves in order to get slow enough that we could catch some fish. We ended up getting a real nice, I don't know, 14, 15-pound ling cod.
Uh-huh.
But it's just terrible. I mean... And yet, it's starting to cool off down there, and it's going to get hot again down the valley. So I don't know. I mean, our long-range weather forecast, I mean, even inside, it's not fun.
Huh.
So, but when you've got, I don't know, we were probably in 9-foot waves, rollers yesterday. And you don't have to go very far. We were right out by the first red one.
Huh.
There was a few salmon boats out. I didn't hear the scores from yesterday. There's just hardly anybody in the parking lot at the launch ramp, so you know there's not a lot going out.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just, same old thing. The weather. I don't know why we get punished like this. I just don't understand it. But, so I don't know. I think we won't be able to be doing it. We'll do albacore probably Tuesday. Monday and Tuesday look pretty good days, but I can't go back-to-back, so and I already booked for Tuesday. So
yeah.
By the time we get back in, clean the boat, and got to get fuel, and to turn around and get ice and go right back out the next day, we're just not able to do that. We did that last year. We did three days in a row, but the fish were a lot closer. We got in a lot sooner. So we'll see what happens this week toward the long range. You look like, you know, we're really booked heavy in August, and hopefully that's going to be when the water, everything settles down a little bit.
Well, you know, as long as the calm weather does get there, and it always does, you know, it just, if it hangs on a couple extra weeks is when you really notice it, because you just get a little... PO'd at it, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, we're really here not for the salmon, and the rock cod is great, but I mean, we're really here for the albacore. I mean, that's what we want, and that's what our people want. So, and a lot of them will not switch over. I mean, they want albacore, and that's what they want, you know. And so, I did have a 2 days. Chartered from Chevron down in Richmond there, and they wanted 2 days and together there for albacore, and but they said that they would switch over to do rock cod if we could go.
Yeah.
So, but okay. Our salmon fishing is just—it's not nothing like down there. The fish, you know, maybe 2-3 a boat, you know, maybe a small boat with two people in there might get limits, and some of the fish are pretty decent. But it's not like what's going on down in San Francisco.
Yeah. Okay, Barry. Well, let's see what happens. I think the weather is everything for all this fishing. We're going to get a better idea, so we'll just check with you next week. In the meantime, good luck.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks, Barry.
All right, bye.
Barry Canavero, Fishhookers Sport Fishing. Call him at 916-870-4225. Well, I talked to Kenny Priest up in the Klamath River. and Humboldt Bay. Listen, Kenny, to change our luck, let's start with how the California halibut fishing is inside of Humboldt Bay.
That seems like our one bright spot right now.
Yeah.
You know, we can't get offshore. The wind's blowing up here, so it's, you know, we can't make it down to the Cape. So a lot of guys are heading inside the bay there. There's lots of bait, and the fishing's actually really good. And, you know, more good news, there's a lot of short ones, too. So, you know, they really have to wade through them to get a keeper. So, which is, you know, we said about this last year, you know, that's good news for next year. Hopefully
sure.
those little guys will grow and stick around, and I don't know if they go out and come back, but, you know, it sounds like there's still a lot of fish in Humboldt Bay.
Okay, that is good news. That is good news. And you say the weather's been just too windy to get a concerted effort on the salmon?
Just the last couple of days. So, you know, one of the charter boats went out on Monday and gave it an okay effort, you know. And he ended up getting four, you know, kind of right out front in 170 feet of water. You know, he got four in a couple hours. So I don't know if you want to call that a big effort or just, you know, he definitely concentrated on trying to catch some fish, and they were right on the bottom. So, you know, there's just not a lot of effort. And, you know, if you don't have any boats on the water, they could be, you could just be missing them, too.
Yeah.
They could be offshore. You know, no one knows.
Well, and that there's another thing you said that could be key. Most people up and down our coast, from San Francisco to the Oregon border, generally they fish salmon in 30 to 50 feet of water. They're not used to fishing fish right on the bottom.
They're not. But it's happened before up here. I can remember, you know, maybe it was 2006, and the fish were all offshore, and they were right on the bottom, and that's where the cold water was. And, you know, there is no normal anymore. I think we have to move past that. You know, for a lot of years, you could just go out front here and catch a limit of salmon out front of Humboldt Bay here, no problem. But, you know, in the last 5 years, it's every year has been completely different. So, and this is shaping up to be a completely different year as well.
What about the mouth of the Klamath?
Well, the last couple of days has gotten a little bit tougher for whatever reason. Over the weekend was really good fishing again, and in the early this week it was, you know, still pretty good. You could go out there and, you know, get a chance at, you know, four or five fish a day. But the last couple of days, for whatever reason, has been tough. Doesn't seem to be as many fish in there. Definitely not as many fish in there. So, but, you know, like we've talked about before, that fishery is as good as the next tide. So tomorrow morning, it could be loaded in there. So you just have to go.
Are we getting any reports at all from upriver?
The only reports from upriver, the moth is definitely getting better upriver. So there are some guys who are going up there first thing in the morning, fishing some of the riffles, and they're catching some steelhead. So the steelhead are definitely starting to make their way up there. There was a lot of them in the estuary last week. They were jumping all over the place. So they're definitely making their way up there. So,
that's Kenny Priest. He writes an article, FishingTheNorthCoast.com. Comes out every Thursday. You can get it. To book him for a trip, he's a drift boat guide on the Klamath, all over the place up there. 707-496-8671. So that's at least some good news, although Kenny seems to think the steelhead are a little late, and I'm thinking, here we are mid-July. Is that late? Well, the first runs of steelhead, you know, they're used to that warm water, and I guess, you know, they've become accustomed to it over the last 10,000 years. Who knows? Anyway, we'll be back right after the break. Welcome back. You know, the Bodega Bay has always been one of these areas that you go over there in July and you catch salmon. That's all there is to it. Now, this is in the days of when we had salmon, before all the water diversions and everything else reduced their numbers to the current levels. Anyway, Bodega and July were synonymous. And you could go out, you'd troll your flasher, do whatever you wanted, but you would get nice fish. You always seemed to get nice fish out there. But now it's a hit. The last couple of years, about 3 years ago, it was kind of like the old days. I mean, it was really good fishing out there. you know, a lot of big fish, a lot of limits, the whole works. But it hasn't been that way since. It's been a hit or miss thing. And when the fish are there, I mean, it's good fishing. Last week, we heard Chris Lawrenson say, my goodness, we had limits and up by the mouth of the Russian River and that whole thing. And then all of a sudden, those fish are gone. And now there's fish are somewhere else. But anyway, when you can still get limits there, but maybe there's some shakers. So I talked to Les Fernandez, who runs Fish On Charters. He's got the Samantha Irene, which he runs as a six-pack boat. And then he's got a little bit smaller boat. He's got both boats over there, Fish and Salmon, and I talked to him last night. Les, you're fishing Bodega Bay for salmon. How's the day gone so far?
We got limits, Bob, on the four-pack boat here, and we're just working on a couple crew fish.
Okay, well, that's good. How has it been all this week, Les?
It's been hit and miss, Bob. Both my boats had limits a couple days ago, and then yesterday, very slow. We went rock cod and got limits of rock cod for the guys yesterday. Salmon was a little slow. Kind of turned back on today, though.
That's good. What about the quality of fish this last week?
A couple days ago, they were, you know, probably had an 11-pound average, maybe. Uh-huh. Today, Bob, it's probably a 6-pound average.
Oh, you got some shakers in there, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's
a lot of shakers today.
That's going to happen. Hey, at the beginning of the week, I heard there was some fish up on the Russian River, right off the Russian River, but out in about 200 feet of water. Those fish still around?
No. Actually, we looked out there, all up in there yesterday after we got done rock cod fishing, and nothing.
So where are you fishing?
Right out front, right at the Whistle Buoy.
Okay. Well, that's where it all started this year, and it seems like there's always a few fish there.
Yeah, that's true. You know, normally there's a lot of jellyfish right out here right now, but you know, thank God today there isn't. So
yeah.
We're able to get a few.
I also have heard, Les, and tell me if you've seen this. You know, guys that fish around the Whistle Buoy, they get a little careless, and as they drift north, they get into that marine protected zone and get a ticket. Have you seen that happen?
Oh yeah, that happens all the time.
Yeah,
yeah.
You gotta know your P's and Q's there. Otherwise, I mean, this year it seems like they're being real aggressive on citing people for fishing in those areas.
Yeah, and they'll cite you if you're just, you know, a little bit over the line. You know, anything above the 18 line, they'll cite you for.
Yeah. Hey, back to the salmon. So usually we're hearing more about, like, between Bird Rock and Elephant Rock. I haven't heard a lot this year so far.
There's been a few down there, down at McClure's Beach. I guess they had a little bite down there yesterday afternoon. We had been fishing down there, and it seemed like the fish kind of moved up.
It just depends on where the food is, I guess, huh, Les?
Yeah, you know, and out here where we are right now, you know, there's not haystacks of bait or anything. There's scattered bait, you know. Watercolor looks pretty good. Well, I may have one hanging here. I don't know. give me a second, boss.
Go ahead.
I think we got one here.
Okay.
Yeah, we got one. You want me to hang up, or you want to try to be on the radio for this?
Well, I don't care. What do you want to do?
Shit.
We'll hang in there for a minute. What size do you think he is?
I don't know. He might be too small.
Yeah. How deep?
No, he's a shaker. It's a shaker.
Okay. How deep are you fishing?
That fish came at 30 feet.
All right.
30 feet down, and we're in 120 feet of water.
And what are you using?
Rotaries and stuck baits.
That's Les Fernandez, Fish On Charters. Of course, he didn't know that when you get this program on the phone, you're going to hook a fish, right? It's been that way for years, it seems. Anyway, Les's number for either the six-pack or the four-pack boat is 707-875. No, wait a minute. That's not the right number. I'll give it to you in just a second. I think that's an old number. I'll give you the correct number in just a second, but... In the meantime, I talked to Frank Miller of the Fury, who's out of Point San Pablo, about San Francisco Bay fishing. Frank, this has been a pretty good year, I guess, for stripers in the Bay. I guess they're still coming down. How are you doing on them?
Oh heck! I was just talking to somebody this morning about that, and there's just when you think they take off on you, they're back again. You know, you get some big tides and they kind of take off a little bit, and you think they're gone, and the tides kind of settle down a little bit, and wow, they're right there again, right on the limits every time.
You know, you're one of the few boats that is close to like Red Rock and the Brothers. Have you fished that at all now?
Yeah. Matter of fact, that's my safety valve. Things are going a little tough, but in Central Bay, I come back and I'll maybe try the Brothers there, and sometimes I'll get limits right there. So there's been a lot of fish showing at the Brothers, at Red Rock, and then again, you know, there's a lot of fish all around there. It's unbelievable how many fish we have right now in the system.
Yeah, you know, I'm even hearing that they're catching some pretty good sized stripers in Suisun Bay in the deeper water right now.
I haven't heard that, but you're in more contact with that I am. But again, there's fish all over. There's like different schools, different grade. Red Rock, I have one grade of fish, and then you get into the rock pile over there in Central Bay, and then the fish are bigger, maybe up to 11, 12 pounds. So there's different schools around and different grade of fish, but there's a lot of fish around. They get them all over.
Hey, does anybody fish the Sisters anymore, Frank?
You know, we don't fish it until we get in the fall. In the fall time of the year, like in October, is when those fish start moving up in that area. So we'll start fishing in September, October, on the incoming tide, you know, in the fall time of the year. And usually we do very well. There are a lot of smaller fish, but a lot of action and a lot of fish. It seems like the bait moves up, and that time of year, the fish kind of just leave every place else and start migrating up there.
What's your feelings on what kind of a halibut year that we've had so far?
Oh, it's been great. We've gotten fish in the flats. We've got fish at Angel Island, Treasure Island. There's fish all over. I thought about maybe even trying the bar, north or south bar, but there's no reason to go out there. There's fish all over it. A lot of smaller fish, you know, and then once in a while you get a nice, two, three nice ones, four nice ones. You know, some of the bigger boats might do very well on it, and then some of the six-packs is a little tougher, but you get some big ones every once, 20, 25-pounders. And there's been fish in the South Bay, so you just got to go out there and try it and put your time in. You'll hook up.
That's Frank Miller. He's one of the great old-time fishermen in San Francisco Bay. He's in Point San Pablo Marina, and he knows that bay like nobody does. He's just a great guy, a good fisherman. His number, 800-499-6465. And Les Fernandez's number up in Bodega Bay is 707-490-4067. After the break, Mr. Dan Bacher, the Fish Sniffer. Welcome back. Well, lots going on. Let's talk with the Fish Sniffers, Mr. Dan Bacher, and get up to speed. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Bob.
First of all, I don't know what you're going to talk about, but I got a kick. There was an article in the paper this morning I just glanced at. And
you're getting the bee back?
No, I'm not. I went on the station's online subscription.
Okay.
I'm still in a state of relief that I don't get that paper anymore anyway.
Yeah.
But what's the name of the guy that is embracing our interior secretary now for New Malonis and Don Pedro?
Well, there are a lot of them, but the main guy that you're talking about is Jeff Denham.
Yeah. So are the federal, of course, under the Trump administration, you know, the Water Resources Control Board says, hey, everything's on the verge of collapse. We need to give water back to fish. And now Jeff Denham is calling, you know what he's calling that after the farmers get 80% of all the water? He's calling that a water grab.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
And you know how they just drained New Melones a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
It was shameful. And now they want to take more water out of New Melones and Don Pedro for farmers. And that's what this is all about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, the Secretary of Interior, Ryan Zinke, made a visit to California yesterday.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and did a big, big show up at New Melones and then Don Pedro and then other locations, I guess he's going to do today. But the bottom line is that this particular writer that you talked about, it's one of three really bad writers, and the other one that we've talked, this is to the House Interior Environment Related Agencies Appropriations Act. That's a spending bill. And the other one is the Calvert writer, which is the one that bans Delta Tunnels lawsuits.
Yeah.
And the other is Congressman David Valadao's writer that would have a ban on major California infrastructure projects, including the State Water Project and the Central Valley Project. And so this is essentially an attack on states' rights.
Yeah. The Brown administration did come out and went against the Calvert writer.
The what? Yeah. After a lot of pressure.
Yeah, but and I know they probably didn't want to, but they did, and we got to say at least thank you because you did the right thing.
Yeah, for once, and shocker. Yeah, because Secretary John Laird issued a letter this week opposing all three of the writers, so it's a good thing. But don't get it wrong. He's
don't
a guy
get a false
still,
sense of security.
pushing for the Delta Tunnels all the way.
Yeah,
they just realized that those three writers could hurt what they want to do, and hurt pretty much what anything done in the state regarding water or fish. But the thing that didn't get talked about too much in the media was the fact that the House of Representatives on Thursday passed this bill, including these three writers. So it's already been passed by the House of Representatives, and now it'll go on the Senate. So there'll probably be a big battle. The two California senators, Dianne Feinstein and Kamala Harris, are opposing it. However, interestingly enough, the Attorney General of California, Javier Becerra, hasn't commented on it yet, although the Brown administration says they're against it. So, if people out there, you want to have some say in this or at least comment, you need to, it's over to the Senate side, so... Mm.
Well, that to me, that is shameful that was passed.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that goes against the Constitution. It goes against people's rights. I mean, that eliminates the phrase, the government of the people.
Exactly.
And I don't know where these people are coming from anymore. I mean, to me, when you get a political issue and they don't pay any attention to the people's rights anymore, I mean, those are nothing but criminals as far as I'm concerned.
Well, at least as far as the Calvert writer, where it's coming from is the Metropolitan Water District.
Yeah.
They're the ones that pushed this writer, and that's been revealed in a series of emails and communications uncovered under the California Public Record Act by Restore the Delta. And so there was all sorts of manipulation and arm twisting going before the Metropolitan Board meeting voted to support $10.8 billion funding from their customers of the Delta Tunnels project. And like I said last week, but it's really, you can't overemphasize it. There wasn't a single Southern California water ratepayer out of the many that showed up at the meeting to speak that supports the Delta Tunnels.
Yeah.
Not one. I mean, nowhere in entire Southern California was there one customer of the Metropolitan Water District.
It's all money and power right. by a handful of people.
Which is pretty amazing. You think they would
really
have
is.
One.
It really is. It's all money and power by a handful
of
people.
That's all it is.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, well, Dan, what are you going to do? I mean, if those people were smart, any of those elected officials, or even by association, get rid of them.
Yeah.
I mean, enough is enough already. My God. Give me a break. Look what Brown has done as he tries to as he's leaving office. He's trying to set himself up. I mean, not only legacy-wise, but what else do you think he's going to get out of this?
I don't know.
I don't know either, but you know it's going to be something.
But I can tell you that the one legacy, or other than the Delta Tunnels, the other legacy he's going to do is increasing offshore oil drilling off the California coast.
Yeah, that was really funny when you brought that up.
Yeah.
I mean, the permits under him is much higher than his predecessor, right?
Yeah, than Schwarzenegger, because Brown fired the two previous regulators at the Department of Conservation, which gives out the permits, because they were obeying federal law, and he fired the officials for obeying federal law.
Yeah, I know.
Believe that. And that's documented. Nobody's contested that.
He's a sneaky little devil, isn't he? Dan, we're out of time. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. Dan Bakker, the fish sniffer, again, keeping track of things. It's a shameful. Right after the break, salmon on the Feather River. Don't go away.